Do the robot with me, Bill.
I'd rather, if you want me to, I will, but I'd prefer not to.
Oh, you're not doing it now?
No, not now. No, that's offensive. Alexander Zelbin joins us right now. Alexander is the managing editor of Decider.com, a great website if you like entertainment, if you like TV. How are you, Alexander? Thanks for being here.
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Really good. I want you to fill in the blanks for us on something really quickly. Of course, the Roseanne saga has been going on for a while. Wendy and I were talking about how the other day she kind of sort of made some amends. She wants the show to come back. She's trying to. She said that she wants the show to come back, and originally they said if the show comes back, even though it would be without her, a spin-off version of the show, she would still benefit financially because she's part owner of the show. Mm-hmm. But now she says that she would forego her money. She just wants the cast and crew to be working again. What do you know about any of this?
I mean, that's pretty much it. What they've been kind of talking about, though, ABC hasn't confirmed it, is that if they did a spinoff, it would star Sarah Gilbert. It would potentially have the same cast and crew so that nobody would lose their jobs. But reportedly, one of the big sticking points behind the scenes at ABC is that Roseanne contractually would still be an executive producer, most likely, which means that she would get money. She hinted that she would be making some sort of restitution, and this is the thing, again, reportedly, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes shenanigans going on, is that she would forego the money, which potentially would free them to actually go ahead with the spinoff like they want to do. So we'll see. We'll see if that happens. I mean, that certainly would be good news for a lot of folks who are out of work if it does work out.
I mean, I'll give it a shot because I love the characters, but I'm going to be missing Roseanne and I'm still mad at her. Mm-hmm. I really am. She's disappointed me.
Yeah, and she keeps doing it. I don't want to repeat the tweets that she's been posting out, but yeah. She keeps kind of digging herself a bigger hole.
Like, just shut up already.
Got her fired. Yeah, she's just got to stop talking about
sometimes
that,
also, you know, when a show has a specter hanging over it, and I guess the example I will use is
Silk Specter.
Remember on news radio after Phil Hartman died and the show went mm-hmm. another year without Phil Hartman, they had John Lovitz come in. Even though almost everybody was still in their place, it was hard to watch the show.
Yeah, you're right.
You know,
mm-hmm. the tough thing to tell is I don't think, to be perfectly honest, they were exactly aware where the audience for the new Roseanne was coming from. You know, there was a lot of talk about, yes, it's finally a Trump supporter show. That part of the country can check out a show. But I don't think that's exactly true. And particularly the politics in Roseanne don't necessarily always match up to that. So certainly they could have a reboot, a spinoff, if you will, that would just savagely rip into Roseanne, but that might alienate some of the audience, that might engender some of them. It's a tricky line to walk. I think there's a way of doing it, but they'd have to hit it just right.
They did that a little bit on Two and a Half Men after Charlie Sheen left. They would take an occasional dig at him, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that's one that's actually closer to news radio. Excuse me. The Phil Hartman death, it affected everybody. I mean, not just in culture at large, but particularly in that cast. And
yeah.
Like you said, I don't think they ever recovered from it. But something like Charlie Sheen, where he imploded, it was nice to see him go. And I agree with you, Roseanne, of course. She's in the title of the center of Roseanne. But at the same time, there might be something interesting in treating it in a similar way, where they just dig at her and dig at her and dig at her.
All right. Some news has come out about American Horror Story. We now know more about Season 8. What has been divulged?
So if you are a fan of the franchise, you know you can never expect anything. Now, we thought that Season 8 was going to be a sci-fi season set about a year, year and a half in the future. As of last night, producer Ryan Murphy said, surprise, no, it's not. It's actually the Coven Murder House crossover that fans have been waiting for. We have no idea who exactly is going to be in it, though we do have a bunch of people in the lineup who are returning. Sarah Paulson, of course, will be in it. Billy Eichner will be in it. A bunch of other folks who have been on previous iterations. How it'll all work together and whether it'll bring back folks like Jessica Lange is one of the big questions right now. But for fans, it's pretty exciting because, honestly, they've been waiting for this one for a while.
All right. If people aren't familiar with American Horror Story, what they have is a cast of actors that frequently play different characters in various seasons. Depending on what that season is about, the actors play different characters. So how will that work out? Some of the actors were both in Coven and Murder House playing different characters. How will they solve that?
Yeah, I've honestly lost track at this point of who everybody is playing.
Oh, all right.
Sarah Paulson has done, I think, 9 characters over the various seasons. She's definitely going to be in this. I think she's going to play probably, if they bring in everybody she played in both of those seasons, it'll probably be 3 or 4 characters that she's just popping up as various times.
Mm-hmm.
The great thing about the show, if you do like the show, is anything goes. You know, one of my writers, Kayla Cobb, pointed out the other day that in the middle of the Asylum season that was technically about, you know, 1950s serial killers, they just threw in aliens. They just had aliens show up for no particular reason. So having a bunch of Sarah Paulsons run around, I don't think anybody would blink an eye.
All right, that's doable. This is kind of a confusing story, but let's talk about Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things. She's had a pretty horrendous week.
Yeah, she left social media. Now, somebody started a hashtag, take down Millie Bobby Brown, because of some pics that they didn't particularly like. They started posting homophobic memes on her Instagram, I believe, and she just decided she had enough and left. And that's kind of the long and the short of it, but the bigger thing is this is something that's been happening a lot in social media with celebrities. I believe we talked about it last week with Kelly Marie Tran from Star Wars, The Last Jedi, same sort of thing, where she was being bullied on social media. It's pretty bad, and it's also pretty bad to bully a 14-year-old off of social media. I think people should, you know, to use a phrase from William Shatner on SNL, they should grow up.
Yeah. So for people who don't understand the storyline, it's a little confusing. But things were being said, attributed to her, very homophobic things that she didn't say, but it was made to look online as though she was responsible for these things, even though she wasn't.
Right, exactly. And then people bullied her back and threw things back at her. And rather than get involved, she just left. I think, honestly, this is something we're going to be seeing a lot more of, is celebrities, rather than engaging, rather than dealing with the constant abuse, leaving social media and, you know, getting on with their lives and their work.
I'm getting so sick of social media. I really am. I hate to say it.
Yeah.
I mean, days will go by and it's like, oh, God, I haven't updated my status on my Facebook. Here's another picture of my puppy. I just don't want to even anymore.
I know.
I do think there's a lot of positive things that have come out of social media, that there are connections that people made. There's been people that have been bumped up and given a lot of hope through people connecting with them all over the world. But there's also a lot of really negative things as well. And like you said, it becomes an obligation to people rather than a fun side thing to do.
So true. This segment with Alexander Zeldman is sponsored by WOW Internet TV Phone. Stick around. In a little bit, we'll tell you what the WOW moment of the week is. It's a very, spoiler alert, it is a very distressing one, one that I hope isn't true. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Stay where you are. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Alexander Zeldman is our guest, managing editor of Decider.com. If you haven't visited Decider.com, do yourself a favor. See it. I think you'll enjoy what you read. All right. Most of these stories are pretty negative, Alex. I got to be honest with you. Let's start out with the Star Trek story. What's going on over there?
Yeah, been a real bummer of a week, you guys. So Star Trek Discovery, one of my absolute favorite shows of the past year on CBS All Access. It came out last night. They've had a bunch of turnaround behind the scenes. Whoever knows necessarily with these stories, but reportedly what happened was that Aaron Harbert and, oh gosh, I'm blanking her name, Gretchen Berg, the showrunners of the show were ousted. They were put on a leave due to what, quote unquote, operational and leadership issues. What sources said happened was basically they were shouting at the show writing staff and making it a very unsafe place for everybody to be. Not only that, but also one of the executive producers I'm completely blanking on his name as well. There's a lot of names. One of the executive producers also was, Akiva Goldsman, excuse me, was also being abusive with the writing staff and has left the show as well. The good news about it is that Alex Kurtzman, who was on board for the first season of the show and also produced and worked on a bunch of the big screen movies, is taking over as the showrunner for the rest of season 2. If you're a fan of the show, they should still be on time for the 2019 broadcast date. But it's a bit of a bummer, particularly because the first season was so good.
Quite a shakeup. And when we say abusive, do we know exactly what that entails, or has that not been said?
So one of the reports has that Harberts leaned on the writer's desk and shouted an expletive in a writer's face, making the entire room uncomfortable. I'm sure there had to be more than that at that point, though those reports haven't come out.
Wow, that's a lot going on over there. Speaking of scandal, there's a scandal over at The Bachelorette. What's the scandal there?
That it's still on.
That it's still on. Wow.
Yeah, this has not been an easy season for the show. They've had multiple things going on, from a contestant liking racist and homophobic memes on Instagram to now one of the Bachelorette contestants who, at least for now, is still on the show, Lincoln Adam. I might be pronouncing his name wrong. He has been accused of assault. And in fact, convicted for it. So where that heads the show from here, we don't exactly know. ABC pushed back on it a little bit. They said they had no knowledge about the incident or the charges or anything like that. But certainly it's going to throw the rest of the season in a lot of distress.
All right. Speaking of The Bachelorette, I keep seeing ads for a show called The Proposal that looks just like, to me, I don't know, it looks exactly like The Bachelor or The Bachelorette. And they even say from the producers of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, what's the difference?
Sure, not much. It's premiering on Monday. Like you said, it's from one of the creators of The Bachelor. And it's basically The Bachelor, except they never see The Bachelor until the very last episode. I would argue, given all the things that The Bachelor and The Bachelorette have gone through over the past couple of seasons, maybe they want to just do a calmer concept. Maybe they just want to, you know, concentrate on love and dating and stuff like that.
But sure.
Going steady. That's what they should call it.
Going steady. Like that.
Yeah. Keep your distance. Keep your foot while you're dancing.
But now with this one, with The Proposal, will we be guaranteed that the kids who fall in love are in love forever? Because that's been a little bit of a problem on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, right?
Yeah, they're definitely going to be in love forever. No, I don't know. I mean, if anything, it's going to be worse because they're not going to see the person until the very end. I assume the idea is to fall in love with the person's personality versus what they look like. But
it's very realistic.
I don't know. I don't know, man.
All right. Tell me, I need some good news in my life. 12 Monkeys. What do we know about 12 Monkeys?
I love this show. If you've never checked it out, it's not just one of the best shows on the Sci-Fi Channel, but one of the best shows on TV. It started inspired by the Terry Gilliam movie with Bruce Willis about a time traveler who tries to stop a global plague before it kills most of the world's population. But it's gotten so big and epic and weird over the course of four seasons. The fourth season kicks off tonight with three episodes, and they're actually doing a fun broadcast structure where you can watch three episodes for the next three Fridays, and then they have a two-episode finale the fourth weekend. So if you're looking for kind of like a mix between a binge and a broadcast schedule, they got you handled there. But it's fun. It's weird. Every episode stands by itself and plays with fun time travel tropes. And I'll also mention, if you're a fan of the Back to the Future series, it's actually in a weird way inspired more by that than it is by the 12 Monkeys movie, because Terry Matalas, who's the co-creator of the show, is no joke the biggest Back to the Future fan in the world. So search the show for Easter eggs and you will be well rewarded.
It's one of those shows. Now, I know that this is going to be its final season, 12 Monkeys, and it's also its fourth season. But I loved the original movie, and I heard they're doing a TV show, and I go, I got to see that, but I'll wait to make sure that the show, you know, lasts a little while. I had no idea this was already the fourth season. It seems like it just started 10 minutes ago.
This is one of those shows that, to be perfectly honest, nobody watched while I was on. I was looking at the ratings the other day, and they just went down a cliff. But the first three seasons are on Hulu right now. It's a great easy binge because it's about 10 to 13 episodes per season, so it's very easy to handle. I'll mention I've seen a little more than half of this final season. I don't know totally if they'll stick the landing, but it's phenomenal so far, and it's been really consistent across the board. So whether you watch it over the next month or when it all ends up on Hulu on streaming, I definitely recommend checking it out. It's a lot of fun.
I have finally caught up on Arrested Development. I watched the long-awaited, was it season 5?
Mm-hmm.
I skipped four because really I started watching it, and Alexander, you said it was fine to do it because they did a recap. I loved it. Now I'm disappointed that I'm finished with it, and I want more. And I think there are more episodes coming for this season. Correct?
They're done with this season, but one little trick that I'll tell you, if you do want to go back and watch the fourth season, if you're really aching for more Arrested Development, there were two edits of it. There was the regular edit that they originally put up, and then there was a remixed edit where they made it seem a little more like Arrested Development episodes by mixing all of the storylines together. That is nowhere near as good as the original season four, which, mind you, was just okay. But you can still watch the original season four by going to bonus features on the season four on Netflix, and you can find it that way. So if you really want to watch more, it's there for you to check.
Why not?
All right,
why not?
Perfect.
All right. I've never prefaced the wow moment of the week this way, but it needs to be said. I hope so badly this isn't true because I really like this guy.
Me too.
What is the wow moment of the week?
So, as you said, the wild one of the week is a really unfortunate one. This broke this morning. There's a lot going on here, and I'll couch this in. We don't know all the details yet. But Chris Hardwick's ex-girlfriend, Chloe Dykstra, posted a very long post on Medium. She's now on a social media break after this, making herself, I think rightly so, generally available while she takes a break, but talking about how he emotionally and physically abused her throughout their years-long relationship. She never mentions him by name. She never says Chris or Chris Hardwick at any point in the piece, but to anybody who knows them, it's very clear who she's talking about. And there's been a social media firestorm after that of people calling for AMC to respond, for Nerdist, his company, to respond, and also from things like he is supposed to moderate a couple of San Diego Comic-Con panels to get somebody else to do those instead. It's very unfortunate. I would say on a personal level, I know, in full disclosure, both of them, and I've met them and chatted with them socially. I think I believe Chloe, for better or for worse.
Oh, I hope so badly this isn't true.
Can I just ask a question, though? At some point, I think, why shouldn't you just go to the police instead of doing it over social media? I guess that's my only question.
I'm not a cop or a legal expert,
right,
but we were talking about this quite a bit in the office this morning. The thing that makes it so tough, beyond the fact that the law is not necessarily cited in favor of women, is that there are so many different levels to these type of things that it's hard to parse. You know, you have the Harvey Weinstein level of somebody who is, trigger warning, but raping dozens or hundreds of people and committing clear crimes. And then you have things like the Aziz Ansari allegations that came out, which did seem very bad and weren't great, but also could be, well, that was a terrible date, or that was a terrible thing that happened with two people, and who exactly knows?
It's a more gray area, I guess, is what you're saying.
Exactly.
That's true.
Exactly. And people, I think, often feel very trapped. She talks about this in the piece quite a bit, where she didn't know how to talk about this. You know, she didn't know how to say anything out loud. She didn't know who to go to or what to do. And so for her, putting this out here wasn't so much as attacking him as clearing her deck, getting the thing that's been eating away at her out, and so she can move on with her life.
He is since married to somebody else, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Got married a couple
that's
years
correct.
Ago. Yeah. Wow, that's quite a story. That is quite a story, Alex. And I like I said, I hope so badly it isn't true, but I guess time will tell, huh?
But then I hope she heals too if she's coming forth with something. You know, I don't want a victim shame ever.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
it's unfortunate for both people.
Yes.
Alex, thanks for being here. Greatly appreciated, and we hope for better news next week.
Absolutely. I'll cross my fingers and
please
do what I can.
That would be nice. Alexander
thanks,
Zelvin,
Alex,
managing editor of Decider.com. It's right there on your computer. We'll take a quick break, then some news. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.